At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome into Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. I'm Brady Cannon, along with Wes Reynolds at the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, as we get you ready for the Valspar Championship and take you through the next hour of golf betting conversation. The tour went off the norm last week in New Orleans for a two-person team format, and it was Team Australia, Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith getting the win in a playoff. Wes, over Team South Africa, Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel.
Good for Trevor Immelman to see that some President's Cup participants, perhaps, being very well, the final two teams being Australia and South Africa, both kind of made a mess of the playoff hole, but Team South Africa a little bit more of a mess. So Smith now gets his third PGA Tour win. That's his second win, actually, at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, I believe, 2017 with Jonas Blix, the Swede, who's been kind of off the grid here, had some injury issues, about to return back to the tour, I believe.
I think he's in the field this week.
Yes, I think you're right. Mark Leishman now six wins, so obviously they get the full FedEx Cup points for that. No Masters invites, but both of those guys finished inside the top 12, so they'll be back at Augusta next year. They do obviously get the two-year additional tour exemption, so a beneficial win for both of those guys. It always is. On the Oosthuizen and Schwartzel side, Louis, unfortunately, man, he is just so hard luck. He has never won on American soil, despite the fact that he has a major championship at the Open back in St. Andrews all those years ago. I think 2010 or 2011 it was. And he has been a runner-up. He has the Bridesmaid Grand Slam, second in all the major championships, but still cannot win on U.S. soil, and I know that kind of gets to him a little bit and wants to prove it over here, but has had a very good career. Nice to see them both play well again. Charles Schwartzel, actually this week, the five-year anniversary of his last PGA Tour win was at the Valspar Championship in 2016.
When we previewed the Zurich Classic last week here on Long Shots, we talked about how this event is pretty random, and handicapping a winner can be very difficult, but the results really were not that surprising. You look at Smith and Leishman, Burns and Horschel, John Rahm and Ryan Palmer, Bubba Watson, Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Xander Schauffele. They were all there on the first page of the leaderboard. We just didn't pick the right team.
And I guess in retrospect, even though we weren't on either of the two playoff participants, not really surprising, because we did mention last week on this program the alternate shot on Friday and Sunday are going to be the deciders in terms of who's going to win this. And you have guys that have played in President's Cups that have played that alternate shot format before, and some of the European teams as well, and some of the Americans, but you really didn't see a lot of the American Ryder Cup duos necessarily over the years pair up. So not a shock, I guess, at the result. Unfortunately, not on either one of them.
Wes Reynolds goes back-to-back across the pond, nailing John Catlin at 50-1 a couple of weeks ago at the Austrian Open, and then follows it up with Garrick Higo at the Lopezon Open in Gran Canaria this past week at 40-1. Wes, I think we're going to start calling you the British Bulldog. What is that, four winners in a row?
I'm a regular Davey Boy Smith here, Brady, the legendary wrestler, the British Bulldog. But, yeah, four winners on
four the winners on
tour.
The tour, two in a row.
Yeah, I would like to get one on this side of the pond. Hopefully this week we'll start that. But Garrick Higo, you're right, 25 under, 255, the lowest score ever in the history of the European Tour in terms of an official tournament play. It was a very easy course, and the wind didn't blow over there in Spain. Garrick Higo absolutely putted lights out because he was just bombing it off the tee. So he gets the win over Max Kiefer, the German, and that's actually back-to-back runner-up finishes for Max Kiefer. So a lot of people kind of like him, third time a charm this week in the Tenerife Open. They're staying on the Canary Islands. We'll get to that in the next segment.
That is now 11 outright winners in 14 weeks for the Long Shots crew when you include the European Tour. And it was way back in January when I got the party started hitting Kevin Na at the Sony Open. But ever since then, Wes, the field has been lapping me. I'm due.
Well, you're killing us on the matchups, though, and you always do very well in that part of golf handicapping. So keeping the matchups going, and I think we're on at least one or two maybe of the same players this week, so hopefully we get it rolling.
Yeah, Matt Eumanns, myself, and Wes Reynolds all on one of the same players in the outright market this week. I do have another head-to-head matchup. Could only find one again this week, but hopefully that one is a winner. This is Long Shots, the world's number one golf betting show here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. And we're trying to locate our guest. We've got a repeat offender here. He has now been on the program a couple of times in the past, our friend Rex Hoggard of the Golf Channel. Do we have Mr. Hoggard just yet?
Not quite yet, Brady.
All right, very good. Well, Rex is from the Florida area and is very familiar with this golf course, so we hope to tap into some of his insights about this layout. And Wes, let's talk about the layout a little bit. It's a very atypical Florida golf course. You look at the Honda Classic and Bay Hill, and you know there's not a whole lot of trees. There's palm trees, and there's wind, and there's sand, and there's water. This is really very much more of a traditional style course with tree-lined fairways and dog legs, smaller-ish greens, and it's very important to hit them in regulation here. This is a difficult golf course, and it'll put a real test on these pros. I think it's a real fun tournament to handicap every year.
It is more of like a Carolina course, and we'll be talking about that next week at Quail Hollow for the Wells Fargo Championship. It's not your typical Florida-type layout. Very tight off the tee, a lot of tree-lined fairways, dogleg holes, elevation changes. Copperhead is the name of the course. It is Innisbrook Resort, but the Copperhead course is a par 71, about 7,340 yards. Water's in play on 9 of the 18 holes, 74 bunkers. Of course, five par threes here, which is unique for a par 71 layout. Also, it is known as the Snake Pit. The holes 16 through 18, arguably the three most difficult in terms of hole to hole to hole on the regular PGA Tour. A lot of guys, you want to make pars basically on those holes. No Valspar winner has really finished under par on the holes for the week, so you definitely got to avoid bogeys here. The greens got redone a few years ago, Tiff Eagle Bermuda, still some POA overseed in them. So very tight layout. You do not see a lot of big winning scores here. You'll see kind of low to mid-teens, or you'll see single digits like you saw 2 years ago with Paul Casey.
What do you think about the number one player in the world, Dustin Johnson? Of course, they did not play this tournament in 2020. Paul Casey, as you note, has won this golf tournament two times in a row. Of course, they didn't play it in 2020. So he's the defending champ, a two-time defending champ from 2018 and 2019. In 2019, Dustin Johnson played this event and finished sixth. And this doesn't really seem like a DJ type of golf course. We do have one past winner that's a little bit more on the bomber side in Gary Woodland. But for the most part, this is more about accuracy and precision. What kind of chances do you give DJ this week?
I mean, I give him a chance every single week because he's the number one player in the world. But if you look, he's not really a regular winner in the state of Florida. He did win at Doral, which is a more of a bombers type layout all those years ago. So he always has a chance, but I think he's playing this event and probably will be a participant next week in Charlotte because you've really, now we're getting close to the PGA here, Brady. We're just about 3 weeks away, so you really don't have a lot of opportunities to prepare. This might give you the best preparation you probably can get for it because it's a little bit more of an arduous layout. So you do have DJ in the field. You also have Justin Thomas in the field. And, of course, last time he was in the Sunshine State, he won the Players' Championship at 22-1 7 weeks ago. But you've got the two favorites really at the top of the market that do not have great form, which is why I didn't necessarily go with them. I mean, they're always going to get played because of who they are, number one and two in the world, respectively, but not for me this week.
Well, Dustin Johnson, of course, won in Saudi Arabia back in January. You mentioned Thomas, winner at the Players' Championship. But outside of those victories, to their standards, they really have not been in top form, especially what we remember from DJ last summer and last fall when he went on to win the Masters. But of those two guys, Thomas seems to be a better fit for this golf course than Johnson.
You would certainly think so, and just looking at his form here over the years, 10th and an 18th, also a miscut, hasn't been here since 2017. Of course, no event last year due to COVID-19 got canceled, but I think being that he's won a little bit more recently, I would certainly much prefer Justin Thomas than Dustin Johnson this week.
Let me ask you about some of the guys that are a little further down the board in kind of the 30 to 50 to 1 range, and they played pretty well in the team event last week. You've got Jason Kokrak, Scottie Scheffler, Louis Oosthuizen, Ryan Palmer, Charlie Hoffman. Do you use last week to gauge current form, or do you kind of throw it out because of the nature of the tournament, you know, two-man teams and whatnot?
It's a little bit of a throw out because we didn't really have a lot of stat data last week. We didn't have a lot of strokes gained because of the two different formats. Four ball played on Thursday and Saturday, foursomes played on Friday and Sunday. So, you know, you don't want to totally dismiss it because playing well is playing well, but I didn't really look at it too much. I looked a little bit more at RBC, Masters, and the lead-up event to the Masters in terms of the recent form. And I think this is a course form type of event, and it's evident by who our defending champion is, that being Paul Casey, who's won back-to-back 2018 and 2019. So he's certainly getting some support. He's trying to be, I believe, the first player on the PGA Tour to win an event three straight times. I think it was Steve Stricker.
Yes.
Back in 2011 at the John Deere, which he always plays, being from that Quad Cities, from Wisconsin, so nearby to the Quad Cities. But usually, to be fair, that JDC is a lot lesser field than I think we're seeing this week. You don't get number one and number two in the world in the John Deere Classic the week before the Open Championship. So a little bit of a tougher spot here for Casey, but he certainly fit. And I didn't play him, but he certainly fit a lot of the numbers that I was looking at this week in terms of some different stats that I thought were important. He's up there with on strokes gained approach. I think he's top 12 in this week's field over the last 24 rounds. Very good in terms of greens and regulation gained. And also what's going to be a little important here is strokes gained in terms of your performance or efficiency on par threes, especially from 200 to 225 yards. Yes, four of the five measure at 200 yards or greater. So you can see Paul Casey very much on the top of that list. Bryce Garnett, who I did consider as a bomb this week, didn't end up playing, ranks first in that category. So, yeah, you've got some bears of par threes here. These are not easy holes. And Paul Casey certainly has performed on those, and you know the ball striking's always good. It's just, can he putt well? And he did the last two times here. We'll see if he can make it a threesome.
Yeah, Paul Casey made a lot of sense for me, too, but I did not play him because the odds are that a guy's not going to win three times in a row, and maybe that'll put some pressure on him as well. Obviously, he likes the golf course, has a lot of success here, but I just don't know how he's going to react this particular week. He did not make it onto my play in any form or fashion. You were talking about some of the skill sets that you looked at. I looked at ball striking and that total combination of total driving and greens in regulation. I think that's very important at this golf course, and we alluded to it earlier. It's not necessarily a bomber's course, probably favors accuracy a little bit more. Greens in regulation, extremely important. So I kind of looked at that jumbled stat, what they call ball striking. I also looked at strokes gained approach. I looked at scrambling because these are smaller greens and you're going to miss a few and you're going to need to get up and down. And then I also looked at par three scoring, as you mentioned, and then putting. You know, putting is a weird stat because a guy can get hot for 4 days and win a golf tournament even if he's not a very good putter. And the best putters in the world, conversely, can have a bad 4 days and not win a golf tournament. The Valspar, I think more so than a lot of events on tour, really, you know, makes putting very important. These greens are difficult. You mentioned in your article, I believe, in Point Spread Weekly that'll be out on Wednesday, a lot of undulation in these greens. So putting is actually a statistic that I took a harder look at this week, more so than other weeks. Also, as far as correlated courses, I looked at the Memorial and the 3M Open, and then I also looked at the Sony, which is a par 70, a shorter course, a tighter course, not as many trees as they have here at the Valspar, but you look at some of the crossover winners from the Sony and the Valspar, and they match up. And then, of course, their history at this course. And then also the Travelers. Say, Pete Dye design kind of has some similarity here. What did you look at as far as correlated courses and skill sets?
I think you hit him right there in terms of the Travelers, a guy I almost played this week, Kevin Streelman, a dual winner both here at the Valspar and the Travelers. He was one of my last leave-offs, so hopefully he doesn't get me. I did play him in a matchup, but in terms of the stats, you mentioned putting. The one I used actually was called strokes gained short game.
Yeah, sure.
And that's basically SGP putting plus around the green. So that's what I looked at, and I came up with a couple guys off that list that did make my card this week. So look, in the Valspar, and if you go back to 2019, the last time this event was held, 54.1% was the field mark for greens in regulation. That was lowest on the tour for that PGA Tour season. So when you have very tight fairways, you're probably going to miss some fairways. And that's one thing I did look at. And there was a category, and I was just kind of going through and playing around a little bit on these stats and whatnot. Good drives gained is something that measures where the player can hit the fairway off the tee or if he misses the fairway, but still hits a green in regulation, the fringe or greens in regulation. So look, these match up too with a lot of the ball striking categories, greens in regulation or approach. You see a lot of the same guys on there, the Corey Connorses, the Matt Neesmiths, Bryce Garnett, Abe Anser. So these are guys that are kind of always on that strokes gained approach list and certainly are this week. By the way, the leader in that category, at least for the field that are entered into this field this week, Justin Thomas and then Charlie Hoffman, Corey Connors. Matt Neesmith is on that every week, and then I play him as a long price, but then it's like, okay, he really struggles to make putts. So I understand why people play him all the time because the approach numbers and the greens and regulation are absolutely tremendous, but when you can't make putts, that makes it difficult.
Yeah, he's kind of like Russell Henley for me. The numbers always pan out, really fly off the page, but he just doesn't seem to win golf tournaments. How about anybody in the field this week, Wes, that you feel will struggle? And you mentioned you're staying away from Paul Casey. You ended up not going with Kevin Streelman. How about people that you're kind of against that you think are either in poor current form or are not a good fit for this golf course?
Yeah, and I hated to do it because he played so well last week or he was in that playoff, and I know he's a former champion here, but I looked at Charles Schwartzel, the fact that he was an underdog in his matchup against Zach Johnson. This is a type, and I'm not saying Zach Johnson, I don't know if he's going to contend here or not, but I did take Zach in a matchup over Schwartzel simply because Zach Johnson, at this stage of his career, he's always going to, you know, be more competitive on the courses where the scoring is a little bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by less under par, whether it's single digits under par, Zach Johnson is not that type of player that's going to win anymore where you got to shoot 20 under. He just doesn't make as many birdies, and he's obviously a shorter hitter. But when the course is tighter and the fairways are a little bit more narrow, these are about the most narrow fairways they played on tour this year. I think the average is like 24 yards wide, according to the research I did this week. So a lot narrower off the tee and in terms of the sight lines than you're going to get in terms of some of the other courses that they have played. So a lot of it was situational. I considered fading Louis, but Louis has been very good here over the years, and he's been putting absolutely well, so the putter can at least keep him in contention. But the one I really went against was really Charles Schwartzel. And just kind of looking at some of the main matchups in terms of the bigger name, Dustin Johnson getting faded in the matchup market, but he's against Justin Thomas, and we talked about that here at the top of the segment. Much would prefer JT over DJ this week.
You mentioned Zach Johnson, very good with the flat stick this year, and that's, like I mentioned earlier, that's certainly something that you need in your arsenal this week at this particular golf course, the Copperhead course at the Innisbrook Resort in Palm Harbor, Florida. And I'm with you there. Zach, you know, the biggest strength really throughout his entire career, he's always been a pretty darn good putter. But the wedge game and the approach game from about 125 yards out in his prime, Zach was one of the best in the world.
Absolutely. And he can still be a good ball striker. He's just not a very long hitter, but the accuracy is obviously still there for Zach.
And you mentioned Louis Oosthuizen, and he was a guy I almost went with this week. I did not jump on him, but you know, you were talking about fading him. I thought maybe last week could be a little bit of a springboard for him. I wonder if he is going to, get frustrated after that result, or if it will kind of spur him on.
He ranked first in that strokes game short game I was talking about by a very sizable margin.
I think that'll keep him in play.
And that's why I didn't fade him this week, because I was like, man, these kind of greens, he's going to be able to read them. So I didn't want to go against him this week, so I left that off.
Did you do anything with Abraham Answer this week? You know, he checks a lot of boxes, I believe, here. And it's just a guy that I don't really find myself playing all that often, kind of like a Neesmith or a Russell Henley, where the stats are always there. Very steady Eddie player, but obviously does not have a PGA Tour win yet. And I just don't know when I'm ready to make that call that he's going to go out and win a golf tournament.
I like his game, but I think he was priced accordingly. Because those stats are so good, you often see that put into the number here. And he makes a lot of cuts. He's been finishing top 20, top 25 over his last several events. But I just thought he was a little bit too short in the high 20s this week.
Yeah, Brady, I actually played him. I did completely agree, though, Wes. I thought those odds were a little pretty much on point. So I didn't play him big. He was the shortest number that I ended up playing. But he was, like you guys are saying, statistically, he came up number 3 across the board in my models, both when I ran it last 24 rounds and 36. Usually not a guy I really like to play, kind of like you said, Brady, but I did take a little piece on him this week, so we'll see.
Well, he's absolutely built for this type of golf course, and Wes mentioned that he took a look at some of the stats at Harbortown, the RBC Heritage, and of course, it was just last year that Abe Answer finished second to Webb Simpson there.
I think he hit like 65 of 72 greens in regulation and still lost by 1 to Webb Simpson at that 2020 RBC.
And Wes, going back to your stat, that good drive stat, which I've incorporated this week too, he's fourth in the field in good drives. And then the one that I looked at this week was bogey avoidance on the greens. We're talking, Brady, you were talking about the putting being so important. Number 1 in the field in bogey avoidance. So that was two of the things that led me to him this week.
Very good. Bogey avoidance, absolutely important at this tournament. Another tournament I love to look at bogey avoidance is the Masters, where, you know, you've got to avoid those big numbers, especially in major championships, the U.S. Open. Many stats out there that are very specific to certain golf tournaments. When we come back, it's time for Across the Pond, Red Hot Wes Reynolds. See if we can find another winner on the European Tour right here on Long Shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Welcome back to Long Shots. It's time for our Across the Pond segment, something we do when there is an event on the European Tour. And we turn to VSiN Senior European Tour Analyst. He was just named that earlier this week. The British Bulldog, the Prime Minister, it's Wes Reynolds. Now taking a look at this week's European Tour event in Spain. It's the Tenerife Open in Tenerife, Spain, as Wes looks to complete the triple play. Two outright winners in 2 weeks across the pond, going now for a third in a row. Who will it be, Wes, to complete the hat trick?
Brady, you're making me appear worldly and cosmopolitan when you and I know the rube that I really am, Brady, here. So, you know, trying to be as worldly as I can, been doing better across that side of the pond, certainly, than on American soil. But yeah,
you're the right. Louis Oosthuizen. Maybe that's another name we could give.
Yes. Garrick Higo, of course, did get there for us last week at 40-1. Now has two European Tour victories, also the Portugal Masters last year, 2 and 8 months. A lot of really good young players. A couple of them are actually over here playing in the Valspar this week.
My
Sam
guy.
Horsfield, Rasmus Højgaard. Both guys, I think, trying to clinch that top 100 spot to get in the PGA Championship in terms of the world ranking. So that's why you're seeing some of those guys over here. Higo, the second choice in the market, behind Matthias Schwab, Antoine Rosner, who we hit at the Qatar Masters. He is 16-1, highest rated player in terms of the OWGR in this field. They stay on the Canary Islands and for the Tenerife Open, which last time they had this tournament, I believe, was 1995. Different course they had this on. Jose Maria Olazabal, who you know has won a couple green jackets at the Masters, won this in 89 and 92. So who knows if this is here to stay. It may just be a one-time event just to fill out the schedule with a couple events going away, that being the
Open de France at Le Golf National and the Portugal
I really like both of
tournament.
Those, too.
Yeah.
Sorry to see him go.
Yeah, and they went away. Last time this actually hosted an event, it was not the Tenerife Open. It was the Canarias Open de España. 22 under, Kenneth Ferry won it in 2003. I would expect around the 20-ish under to be the winning score here really this week. I don't know if they're going to quite get to 255. It is going to play, I believe, as a par 71 of 6,857 yards. So really no threat for these guys unless the wind blows, which it did not last week. And that's why you saw 25 under win the tournament with Garrick Higo. But onward this week, Lori Cantor, 35-1. The course name is Golf Costa Adige. And it looks to be a similar layout to Gran Canaria where you're going to have to make a lot of birdies. Who's number one in this week's field for making birdies? It is Lori Cantor, the Englishman at 35-1. He's been off for 6 weeks, well, relatively well rested, I would say. So Lori Cantor, 35-1. Johannes Veerman, 50-1. Maybe he's going to be like John Catlin. Veerman actually is an American. I believe he played his college golf at Texas A&M. 28 years old, birdie maker, capable of going low. Did miss the cut last week, so a little bit of a concern on an easy course that you didn't make the cut, but he is number one on
you
tour.
Know, that's something you bring up. That's an interesting point. We have birdie fests and easy courses out here, and you know, you can shoot a couple of 68s and miss the cut. You
exactly.
Know what I mean? So it doesn't necessarily mean he was playing poorly. He just didn't go low enough.
Yeah, and he's the best on tour for par five scoring. You're going to have a lot of opportunities here on this track to do that. So Veerman, and then one guy you might have, if you've been watching last week, was on the leaderboard. Connor Syme, the Scotsman, fifth last week, but he was right there. He was kind of the main chaser, him and Kiefer, of Garrick Higo. Well, what does he do? He took a quad. He took an 8 on 14 on Sunday, and that really took him out of it. But if you look Friday and Saturday, he shot 61 and 62. 9 and 8 under par. So this is a guy that can go low. And then we'll get to the triple digit guys here. Darius Van Driel, 100-1, shot all four rounds in the 60s last week. He was T8 in Gran Canaria, second top 10 in three starts. So decided to take a shot with him. Nikolai Højgaard, whose twin brother Rasmus is actually here at the Valspar Championship down in Tampa, trying to improve on that ranking for the PGA. Twin brother Nikolai, 15th last week, 7th the week before in Austria. And then Alejandro Canizares, who's actually been the first round leader in two of his last three starts and needs a quick start, did not get it in Gran Canaria.
Speed horse.
Yeah, did not get it last week. He was even par 70, and that put him behind the eight ball, but he shot 12 under over his last 54 holes, but that was good enough, I believe, for 38th, Brady. So when you get off to a bad start on a birdie fest, that's what happens to you. I think he gets off to a better one this week.
Well, my guy, Sam Horsfield, who I like to root for, he is on American soil in the Valspar Championship this week, but two guys that caught my eye that have been playing very well, one of them you're on in Connor Syme. Matthias Schwab, you know, he's a very short shot, but that guy's been playing some darn good golf as of late.
Yeah, and he's looking to break through on the European Tour. He is a really talented player. Came over here and tried to get his PGA Tour card last summer. 8th and 7th the last 2 weeks for Schwab.
All right, next up, major implications. We've got a new game for you that our producer Kelly Bidlin put together. Stick around. It's Long Shots on VSiN. It is the major implications segment here on Long Shots, where we take a look at the next coming up major championship, and that, of course, is the PGA Championship. Just 23 days away, they'll tee it up at the Ocean Course on Kiawah Island, South Carolina, Thursday, May 20th, 2021. And it's time to introduce a new game, What's the Play? We have ditched Would You Rather in exchange for What's the Play. Our producer Kelly Bidlin has put together a few lists of players, all within a range of certain odds, and Wes and I will choose from the list who we would play in each tier. And Wes, I will start with tier one. This is basically anybody at 20-1 or shorter. Dustin Johnson at 10-1, John Rahm and Justin Thomas at 12, Bryson DeChambeau and Jordan Spieth at 14, Xander Xander Schauffele at 16-1, Rory McIlroy at 18-1, Brooks Koepka at 20-1. Anybody on that list or anybody in that range that you would pick right now for the PGA?
Just from process of elimination, no thank you on Koepka. I don't know how healthy he is. This is a 7,600-yard course, so this is a little bit of a slog. I mean, when he won in Phoenix, shorter course and also very flat.
Healthier
so not
knee.
As hilly. Yes. And so I would have to eliminate him. I would eliminate Spieth on this long of a course necessarily. So those were the first two. Rory, of course, has won here before, run here in 2012 by 8 shots over David Lynn. So I need to see something, though, at Quail Hollow, which is probably going to be the only start he's going to make before the PGA Championship. It's a place where he's won before. So I need to see something there. Probably what I would look at, maybe I go back to my guy John Rahm, because it's like I bet him every major. He's so close. And look, he just hasn't gotten it done, but it's only a matter of time. I think Bryson makes sense here, too, being that it is a very long course, 7,600 yards. So he is at 14-1. Those would be the first two I would look at in that tier.
Well, I landed on Bryson DeChambeau, too, and I have not bet him yet, but I'm trying to find a price. I'd love to see him at better than 14-1, but, you know, I think I learned something at Harding Park last year, the way, and at the U.S. Open as well. This guy is obviously built to overpower a golf course, and he's starting to figure out that he can't do that at Augusta National. But I think a PGA Championship is more designed for a bomber. So Bryson DeChambeau would be my selection there at 14-1. Tier number two, guys in the neighborhood of 20-1 to 40-1 and everything in between. Colin Morikawa, your defending champ at 25. Cantley at 28. Daniel Berger at 33. Tony Finau, Victor Hovland, Patrick Reed, and Will Zalatoris also at 33-1. And then Cameron Smith, really the man of the hour lately on the PGA Tour, at 40-1.
Well, there's a couple guys to like there, actually. One that's in very lousy form, but is one of the best Pete Dye course players in the world, and that would be Patrick Cantlay at 28-1. Now, I want to see how he does or what he's going to play. I assume he's going to play Quail Hollow and maybe even play in Dallas for the Byron Nelson, but he's been in very lousy form. Him and Xander Schauffele ended up, I think, finishing okay last week, but he didn't really look great there. So Cantlay, in terms of a Pete Dye, I want to see that price drift up a little bit. Tony Finau actually played very well with Cameron Champ last week, but that alternate shot in the fourth round, they went backwards on that leaderboard in a hurry. Now, can Zalatoris kind of be that guy that played so well at the Masters and then not be an official PGA Tour member as of yet and go on and win a major championship? I think if it's a young guy that's kind of like that with no major experience, the PGA seemingly would be the best candidate for that to happen.
Well, he's trending to make another top 10 finish, right? He was sixth at the U.S. Open and then second at the Masters. Shoot, why not another top 10 at the PGA? I looked at a couple guys, and of course, you mentioned the Pete Dye connection. That's, of course, who designed the Ocean Course at Kiowa. Daniel Berger and Patrick Reed, both at 33-1. Daniel Berger has done very well in the past at TPC Sawgrass. Patrick Reed won the Wyndham Championship, and that's not a Pete Dye design, but you see a lot of crossover there. Webb Simpson, Siwoo Kim, guys that have won the Wyndham, also have a lot of success at Pete Dye courses. So Daniel Berger and Patrick Reed in that neighborhood of 30, maybe you can even get a better number on them, which I would love to see, but I could see both of those guys doing pretty well here.
Yeah, no question about it. I think these guys are all absolute threats to win a major. Cameron Smith, of course, you know, he doesn't do anything well statistically necessarily. He's not great in one thing.
He can really putt.
All around, he's pretty good. He does a little bit of everything good, if you want to call it that. He's not elite in terms of approach or iron play like Morikawa is, who's trying to defend that Wanamaker trophy. So, you know, Cameron Smith, I think, though, the word is now out on him. You're not getting what I got at the Masters back in November, where he's 125-1. Those days are long gone, unfortunately.
Yeah, same for Scotty Scheffler, who I had at 150-1 at the PGA Championship last year. Let's move to the next tier, tier number three, and this is guys in the odds neighborhood of 45-1 to 80-1. Paul Casey, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Liu Yu, Tazen, Sungjae Im, all at 50-1. Corey Connors, Shane Lowry, Joaquin Neiman, and Siwoo Kim, all at 66-1. Anybody tickle your fancy there, Wes?
If you're a believer in the Pete Dye correlation, then Siwoo Kim, who's won two of his three on Pete Dye Designs, but at 66-1, he's one of those guys I need to be 100-1.
He wasn't. It wasn't that long ago. He was at 150-1.
Yeah, and he's been slashed. He's already won on Pete Dye this year at PGA West. A lot of very good players there. Matthew Fitzpatrick, the one thing I always worry about with him is he's not a very long hitter. Mm-hmm. His ball striking is impeccable, and you would think he would be a good fit here. He's always usually a very good fit for the RBC Heritage at Harbortown, but he just doesn't win on these really long courses, so that kind of concerns me a little bit. I guess on that list, what I would be looking at right now would be Joaquin Neiman at 66-1. And obviously this week in Tampa is going to determine really where I go forward with Joaquin Neiman. Shane Lowry could be sneaky too. I wonder if he is starting to find a little bit of form.
Lynx course.
Yes.
Going to have to play in the
wind. By water.
Sure.
So absolutely a coastal type of design. So you could think that Shane Lowry may be one of those sneaky guys that show up here. Because if you look at that 2012 PGA Tour leaderboard, a lot of Europeans were actually up there on that or finished very well. You saw with, I believe, David Lynn, Ian Poulter, Justin Rose, Jamie Donaldson, Peter
and they
Hansen
won a Ryder
from
Cup
Sweden.
Here.
Yeah, so you see a lot of Europeans there. So Shane Lowry might not be too bad there. I'd want to see a little more on the price, though.
I kind of like the look of Sungjae Im. This guy obviously is one of the top players in the world at 50-1. I don't think he would be a bad play. We'll see if we can get to Tier 4 in the next segment here. We do have one more tier with some of the long shots, and I actually have a couple of long shots in pocket as well. So we'll carry that over after the break and then get into our plays for the Valspar Championship right here on Long Shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to Long Shots. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. We'll get to the final segment, the match play segment, here in just a moment, where we go over all of our plays for this week's event. Of course, that is the Valspar Championship. Matt Eumanns has some plays this week. Kelly Bidlin's going to chime in with a few plays. Of course, Wes and I will throw out ours for the week as well. But we want to finish up the major implications segment looking at what's the play. And we're at the final tier here. We have some long shots and one. Wonder if anybody, is piquing your interest here in this list, Wes. We start with a few 100-to-1 shots. Billy Horschel, Kevin Kistner, Ryan Palmer, Brian Harman, all at 100-to-1. Jason Kokrak, Max Homa, Francesco Molinari, all at 125-to-1. And then Stuart Sink at 150-to-1. Any of those or anybody else long bombs that you're thinking about for the PGA Championship?
Jason Kokrak, speaking of long bombs, is a very long hitter. And obviously, now comes in with a win. He finally got that first win there against a very good field right here at Shadow Creek for the CJ Cup. So he is capable, or shown he's capable, of beating very good players, is Jason Kokrak. So he kind of stood out to me a little bit there, because the guy that's a pretty big hitter, and that was the guy that I think I really looked at first. Also, Max Homa at 125-to-1, who has proven his mettle against good competition, that being that he won at Riviera earlier this year with a lot of really good chasers on the leaderboard. So of that group, those two stood out to me.
He won, Max Homa did, at a PGA Championship course, too, Quail Hollow.
Mm-hmm.
Held a PGA Championship in 2017 when Justin Thomas won. I have two selections here, one on the board, and that is Ryan Palmer. Now, I don't necessarily recommend him at 100-to-1. I got him at 250-to-1, and I believe that price is still available on Ryan Palmer. I think Palmer is definitely a good PGA Championship type player. He's been maybe in the best form of his career for the last couple seasons. And then another guy that I added to the portfolio just this week, also at 250-to-1, Keegan Bradley, a former PGA Championship winner. And I think he makes a lot of sense for this type of championship. A good driver of the golf ball, can't putt all that great.
A lot of people like him this week too, because he's always up there on the approach and the GIR and all. Very good with the irons. He always has been, but just can't make a putt, unfortunately.
One thing that's interesting about Bradley, too, is he has great success. Maybe his best putting surface is Paspalum, the Paspalum greens, mm-hmm. and that's what you're going to find here at Kiowa. So I've got two guys in pocket right now that just happen to be on the long shots tier here, tier four in the game we're playing, Keegan Bradley and Ryan Palmer at 250-to-1. All right, let's get to the plays for the Valspar Championship, and we'll do Matt Youmans first, Kelly, and then we'll go over yours. I'm not sure if Matt has any head-to-head matchups this week, but he does not. He does not have any head-to-heads, but we got him back in action at least. He stated that he hated the tournament last week, but he likes this one. So he's playing. Corey Connors, he's got at 20-to-1. Corey Connors has been on a real tear lately. Abraham Answer, we discussed him earlier on the program, checks a lot of boxes for sure. 31-to-1 on Abe Answer. Jason Kokrak, a guy that's had great success here at the Valspar and has really been playing well in the state of Florida as of late, at 37-to-1. And then Joaquin Niemann, the young man, the Chilean, an excellent ball striker who has also found the flat stick this season, Wes.
Yes, he has. And I'm actually on a couple of those plays with Matt, and we'll get to our threesome match here momentarily, but I am also on Jason Kokrak. Number one, Kelly, and you also talked earlier on this show about bogey avoidance. Well, who's number one in this week's field for bogey avoidance? That would be one Jason Kokrak.
Mm.
So I really liked how he was playing. He played very well on the Florida swing. He was 9-8-9 was his form in terms of those three tournaments, Workday, Bay Hill, and then the Players' Championship. So he makes a lot of sense here, and I think that bogey avoidance is going to be very important, especially at the Snake Pit.
He's another
16
guy.
Through 18.
He's another guy who's really found the flat stick this season. Kelly, go ahead and fire away with who you've got in your pocket this week.
Yeah, I've got three of Matt Youmans' four, and I think Corey Connors would. I've played him a ton this season. That it's just tough to play him at that short of a number when you've been playing him at 50, 60 yeah. to one all year.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves it now, though, I think.
He does, but you know, when you know, I'm seeing him same place in my, you know, statistical models and everything that he was at 60-to-1. So it was a pass, but make it 4-for-4 on Joaquin Niemann. I'm with you guys on him. 38-to-1 on him. Other outrights, Answer, Jason Kokrak, I'm in on as well, 37-to-1. Good fit in my model. He was top 10 in my model, well, 10th exactly in my model. And then great course history. I mean, he was really really great tournament history here, and that was one thing that I really relied on here. Charlie Hoffman, Chris Kirk, man, I feel like I'm playing these guys every other week, if not every week, because they are Chris Kirk's been a top 20, top 10 machine.
Both of those guys have been red hot.
Been red hot. So running my model last 24, last 36, this was 1-2, Hoffman, Kirk. So be able to get these guys 52-1, 55-1, I loved. One long shot for me, Tom Hoagie. He was surprisingly up there pretty far on my model. So 150-1, that was a great number. And then mixed all these guys into top 10s, top 20s, top 30s, as you're seeing on the screen if you're watching it.
And that's a good way to do it, too, if you don't want to put it all on outrights to go top 20s, top 30s. I try to do that myself in terms of playing a little bit where maybe I don't want to put it all on an outright, but I want to put it on a prop and at least cash some there. So that's a very good idea. And Kelly, we not only on Neiman and Gokrak, I also landed on Chris Kirk myself at 55-1. He's never really showed very well here at the Valspar, but if you just look at the numbers, if the numbers aren't going to lie to you, and sometimes they can here in this racket, but second in strokes gained total, fourth strokes gained around the green, sixth in tee to green over the course of the last 24 rounds, has been really good. I think the pressure is off him because remember, I think it was at the Sony Open where you hit Kevin Na as the winner, who was the runner-up in that event, Chris Kirk, and he absolutely needed it because he was on that injury, that major medical extension. So he needed to get that to get his full playing privileges back because he did take a leave of absence from the tour. So now that he got that pressure off of him, he's been playing, like Kelly said, really solid golf. Top 20s over and over again. And the course form is not very good, but we often see that, too. A guy's course form isn't very good until it is.
So. Well, it's also a very difficult golf course. So, I mean, I think in this case, this week, current form may overtake course form for some guys. And Kirk could certainly be one of them.
He has four top 10 since January.
Yes. There you go.
Yes. So we'll go back to mine. I'll go to the top of the board, work top to bottom here. Sungjae Im, 33-1. Been cut a little bit from that opener. He's fourth here on debut in 2019. Really likes Florida. So one last chance for Sungjae Im. Didn't get it done this year so far in the swing, but likes the Bermuda. Remember, he won the Honda Classic at PGA National last year and then finished third the very following week at Bay Hill. So Sungjae Im is who I played. I mentioned Kokrak. We've mentioned Neiman. Top 10 in this week's field for tee to green, ball striking, and off the tee. Cooled off a little bit from that January form where he had back-to-back runner-ups in Hawaii, but this could be a good spot for him. And then one that's been cut, I got him at 45. He's in the mid-30s now. I'm going to be a believer in Justin Rose, and he was the 18 and 36 hole leader at the Masters before he was seventh. He's back with Sean Foley. I think that's been good for his game. Was 11th last week with Stenson, who has been way out of form, so Rose might have had to do a little bit more carrying. And then you go back to Bay Hill. He was seventh going into the weekend before the back spasms hit, and he had to withdraw. So Justin Rose, and then sporadic appearances here over the years, but three top 10s over the last 10 years. Kirk, I mentioned. Doug Gim, 100-1. Top 12 in this week's field for approach, ball striking, and tee to green. And then Danny Willett, 150-1, was kind of a long shot. I think he didn't drive the ball well at the RBC a couple weeks ago, but he gained six strokes on the green. Putter seems to be firing for him. And I think on these type of courses where the fairways are a little bit narrower and the scoring's a little bit higher, I think he could fare well here. And then you see the matchups.
All right. So my outrights, I share one with Matt Eumanns on Corey Connors at 20-1. He was 16th in his debut here at the Valspar in 2018. He has four top 10s in his last six events. 11th in strokes gained approach on tour, 68th in strokes gained putting, 6th in greens in regulation, 16th in hole proximity, which I think is very important this week. Also 48th in par 3 scoring. Also has a 12th and a 3rd at the Sony. Got him at 20-1. Emiliano Grillo, not the best putter in the world, but certainly follows a theme with all of my picks. Great ball strikers who putt well or putt their best on the Bermuda grass surface. And Grillo's been really really hot. Just finished second at Harbortown. He was sixth at Punakanta in Lake March, 21st at Bay Hill, 11th in Puerto Rico. So guy's been really good form. Hasn't missed a cut at the Sony or the Travelers ever in his career. He was third at the 3M Open last year. Also has a 9th and 11th at the Memorial. Second on tour in ball striking, 23rd in strokes gained approach, and 48th in par 3 scoring. This guy just made a lot of sense for me. Lucas Glover at 80-1. He was 19th at the Honda, just recently 4th at the Valero Championship in Texas. He has one top 10 here and 5 top 25s. Also a 7th at the 3M Open in Minnesota in 2019. 6 straight cuts made at the Memorial. Sam Horsfield had to do it. My Florida Gator guy that I like to root for, coming over to play on the PGA Tour. Ranked 79th in the world. Really hits it a long way and putts the heck out of the ball. Joaquin Niemann, make it all 4 of us on the young Chilean. Excellent ball striker and really has the putter firing as well. And then my long bomb, Wes, Patton Kizzire. Has the Sony Open connection, a former winner there. Really seems to play his best golf in the South, the Sea Islands of the world and that type of thing. And I think there's some correlation here with this course. In decent form, as of late, he was 6th last year at the Travelers. Also has a 9th 4 weeks ago in Texas. 29th in putting, 18th in greens and regulation on tour, and 73rd in par 3 scoring. So just a long bomb there on Patton Kizzire. We'll see if we can get him home. Next week, we head to North Carolina for the Wells Fargo Championship, and we'll bring in our friend, a local golf professional and professional handicapper, Ryan Brickley, to help us break it down. Enjoy the Valspar Championship. Thank you for tuning in to Long Shots, and cash some tickets, everybody, with us at VSIN.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.